We are back. Some of us are back. All right, did we lose anybody? Okay, next report. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
I don't have a report. We are meeting on May 6th at 9:30 a.m.
Okay, thank you very much. Capital plan review. We met on April 14th, last Thursday, and had some interesting discussions. I will. The highlight really was that in talking about the renovation of this courthouse, Arell brought us up to date with his conversations with Mr. William Clark, counsel for the capital planning for the court system. And Judge Mulvey, Robert Mulvey, joined us in the meeting. It was a very important conversation. He said that the $3.8 million figure to renovate the courthouse, according to the plan that was worked out with that Arell and Labella and the courthouse staff worked out, he said, was not a number the state came up with. And he understands that we have a little problem with a figure like that. So he also reported that the state's own budget, including budget for facility renovations, has been drastically cut in the budget that was just passed. So he basically said that they would really like to move the whole project, the whole renovation project, into a different to a different frame of reference. They want to move quickly and have minimal renovations and put off the full renovation project until some later point. Specifically, he wanted to be able to move into the COFA space, just kind of whenever, as soon as they're out, just move in, not worry about renovating. And he wanted to be able to bring the Supreme Court into this room as soon as possible. And he meant without grand renovations, without all the changes that are meant for the full configuration of this space. Basically, he meant come in, change the desks around, change the seating, figure out where the jury box goes, and they would call that tenant improvements. That's a phrase that's very important. If they move into the space and then it gets renovated, furniture moved, whatever, then it's called tenant improvements and the state reimburses 100% under the court system. So that was a new offer, a new concept for us at the committee. It took us a little while to digest it. It is something that I think the committee felt that we couldn't ignore. So at the end of the conversation, at that part of the conversation, we asked that Arell and Judge Mulvey, along with Amanda Gardner and somebody from Labella, sort of get together and develop an interim plan. What would that look like? How much, you know, how could that be done? What would the cost be for that kind of very minimal renovation so that they could move into this space and the COFA space? And then that would be submitted to Mr. Clark, you know, on up the OCA ladder and then see what happened with that. We, of course, said, well, we don't have anywhere to go if we go. I did offer, I said, you know, because, you know, they meet during the day. The Supreme Court meets during the day. We meet, obviously, not during the day. That if they want to just share the space with us, that would be, I'm sure we could work that out. So, in fact, the next day, last Friday, they came in and looked around. But I wasn't here, but Kathy said they're really talking about changing the furniture. So they don't want to just come sit at your desks. They want to change the furniture. So I will summarize a number of conversations that have happened in the meantime. He also clarified that for this very short-term move. That does not mean the office is out here. It just means this room. So Ed and Kathy and I went over to the old courthouse. Arel has since been over there. Jim Blizzard was over there to look with fresh eyes at the old courthouse, to see the old courtroom on the second floor over there, to see what that would mean if we were to pick up and move over there, leaving the offices here, but moving our meetings over there. So I would like to ask that in our for our executive session tonight, that we move over there. That that basically we'll just break and walk over, take your stuff, and have a look at the room, and then just sit down and have our executive session over there, which, you know, would be fine. And we have, Arel has the keys. Arel is willing to go away for a little while for the rest of our meeting, then come back and join us to go over to look at that space. So I think that that's really the only way that we can evaluate this. I think that it's something that our committee obviously has to really sort through the details of this, but I really didn't want the committee to get way ahead of the legislature on, the full legislature on this. Everybody should be part of the conversation. Peter?
Martha, have you concluded that the day-night split of usage of this room is impossible? I mean, I certainly don't need a desk. If we could have I need a table of some sort to have in front of me, but the drawers are not particularly important. The permanent occupation is not important. So I can imagine furniture which is easily shiftable that would be okay for this legislature.
Right. Well, the other thing that they need is a jury deliberation room that's nearby. And at first I said, well, they could meet in the courthouse conference room. That's mostly okay, except that room does get used sometimes. What we did come to was that Jim's room for the equipment actually probably was originally set up as that kind of a room. That would be perfect for them to use as a jury deliberation room. But nothing's been promised, nothing's been decided. I'm just saying, we're just kind of sorting through with what ifs.
I just want to put that on the table.
Right. Right. I mean, I did also thought that, you know, we can share, but they have a particular idea. Mike?
There are a few other points that came out at the meeting that I really think are kind of important. The reason that the old courthouse courtroom apparently is not acceptable anymore to the Supreme Court is because they want to take their security over there. And they feel that they wouldn't have to take security over there, which might cost the court more money if they took over our room instead. Of course, it was the Tompkins County Board of Supervisors that built this building. I know it's called a courthouse, but it was a county office building when it was built. So to evict us from here is very troublesome. If we had a place to go, that would be different. I said at the meeting to Judge Mulvey, what if we move the county clerk's office out, which has quite a bit of space, which would also have the benefit of having it somewhere where people could access it. It is a heavily publicly used office without having to go through security, much as motor vehicles now is accessed without people having to go through security. He said he would be willing to look at that. I think we need to go very, very slow here. If we spend the money to move this legislature and retrofit that over at the old courthouse, and then we decide in a few years to have a center of government building, we will spend that money at least twice. And I think that we need to think long and hard about that. Judge Mulvey has a courtroom. There's the special term room at the end of the hall. Sometimes he does say that's a little small for him. There's also the main courtroom. That's often used. That used to be the Supreme Court room, but now it seems to be used more by the county judges. There are county at least one courtroom downstairs. I think we shouldn't just decide we're going to hop out of here. I think we should think about this. We need to think about the acoustics over there at the county, the old courthouse. We need to think about the fact that there would not be good office space over there. Do you really want to now separate our board offices from the chambers? For example, people going back and forth. If we have a meeting like this, we have the benefit of our clerk and our deputy clerk being able to go back to their offices and get us information if we need it. That's not going to happen very easily if we're over the other building. There's a lot of things to think about here.
That's absolutely true. A lot of things to think about. You forgot to mention, Mike, that that Maureen Reedy, who was at the at our meeting, left the meeting, came back, came over here, and bumped into Aurora, the county clerk, and mentioned that you had just offered this to Judge Mulvey. And she said, do you remember what she said? Not while I'm county clerk?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting situation. We can't debate that here on the the floor. But that is a county office as well. So is the district attorney's office, as opposed to the state offices. And someday, that's going to have to come out of this building, as long as the courts keep mushrooming the way they have been. And it's just a matter of putting that off, which one goes first.
The question is, at this moment, what, and by the way, I did ask Judge Mulvey that again when I met with him on Monday, and he said absolutely he's not interested in that space.
But that's not what he said.
If I could finish.
That's what private meetings will do for you.
Sorry.
I'm asking everybody to have an open mind here. There have been some preliminary conversations to figure out this Jim Blizzard, what would it cost for Jim Blizzard to move over there. Arell's looked at it. Kathy and I and Michelle and Karen have sat and talked and what would need to happen. This is a lot of information needs to be gathered, trying to do it as quickly as possible. That's what the judge really... to try to work in partnership with the court system. And you know, we can judge, well, do they really, you know, is it really excessive for them to care about being in a different building? That's not up to us. They have their own needs and decisions. The point, just a second, Mike. If the clerk moved out, we'd have to pay for somewhere for her to go. I will point out, if we move to the courthouse, I think you will see there's likely very little expense that we would have to put in for our meetings to be over there. Not nothing, but I think we need to keep an open mind and, you know, let the staff gather the facts, let Judge Mulvey work on what he can get from the court system. Frank?
Yeah, Martha, I think I tend to agree with you, and I also agree with Mike, that this is one of those where you got to take it one step at a time. You reminded us at the Capital Program meeting that we just bought a building, the Kofa Cabana, and we're going to be doing renovations on that, and we have to build that into our budget. Any cost here is cost we hadn't planned on at all, and I think that addresses some of Mike's concern. And with what Joe told us earlier tonight about having to massage our current budget in order to accommodate the state's change in their budget, while I sympathize with the court's needs, we can't keep going back to the taxpayer. We got to be concerned about the numbers you were bringing up at the capital programs meeting. We really do. And this is one, with all due respect to Judge Mulvey, we're just going to have to take it a little slow. I mean, and examine all the parts.
Joe, this is where I want you to put it.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I think remember, the part of the bargain that we would get is that they would move in here at their cost completely. And he would be satisfied with that for an extended period of time compared to the long journey we've already been on. So, Joe?
Yeah, and this is a tough call. And I I may have been the one that coined the "we're being evicted by our tenant" line at one time, and this is a very tough call, and so a lot of things we have to think about. But among the things that have to be thought about is the fact that under the court facilities bill, we can be mandated to do what the court wants us to do, to comply with their standards. I suspect we're about the last county in New York State that has still not gotten there. A lot of other counties have been through it. I think we're probably at the tail end of what may be a 20-year process. I think many of them that went early did it 20 years ago. So in terms of the ticking clock and what may be motivating the court right now, part of it is that it's been a long time since this came about. The other thing is thinking about the numbers, and you all make good points about numbers right now. If the plan that Labella laid out were to be implemented, the county could be on the hook for about $3.8 million that we would have to borrow for, and the state's only obligation is to pay one-third of the interest on that debt. Okay, so that's where we could be. That doesn't take into account the cost of relocating everything in this building we have to relocate. That's a plus on top of the 3.8. That's all of ours, and the state's only obligation, if it wanted to play that way, would be one-third of the interest on $3.8 million. As we understand what Judge Mulvey has offered, it is respectful of our financial situation, and he's saying, look, just give us the beneficial use of the courtroom, and we will try to work this system where the state can justify paying, in many cases, 100% of the cost of improvements as a tenant improvement once they occupy the space. Now, I don't want to overrepresent that, because in addition to these rooms that they would occupy, there's also things like elevators, and there are holding areas and those kinds of things, which right now the judge is saying, you know, we'll put those off until a much later day. So again, I just want to provide a little perspective, and that is, if we were to go forward with that, what had been plan A that the state could have imposed on us, it could have been $3.8 million with the state paying only a third of the interest cost. So that should be among the things that we think about when we think about this issue.
I think so, Carol.
Yeah, I have a few questions for Martha or Joe. This offer to let us off the hook for until a later date, quote unquote, do we have any indication of how long that is, or how long we would need it to be to make this worth it?
Nope.
That would be helpful to have, I think, because, you know, a later date, if it's 2 years from now, I might feel very differently about than a later date if it's 10 years from now at the earliest.
Let me answer one thing at a time. I did sit down with them on Monday and say, okay, if this is going to happen, we need, or if we're to really take it seriously, we need in writing from him this arrangement that, if they moved in here, we would not be liable for any of the costs. I mean, the reason I say this is that what he said at the meeting was quite different from what Arell heard from the higher up on the phone. And, you know, we need to have it real clear what the agreement is and that the state is behind it. So I also said, and we would ask that the full plan renovations also be called tenant improvements. So he said, well, that would be hard. I said, well, but if we did this swap, you'd be a much bigger percentage of this building. It'd be hard to sort of charge us as if we were still tenants in the building. So I, you know, it's possible doing this would get us an advantageous negotiating position when it comes to the big ticket.
Yeah, no, I understand the rationale, and I'm more than happy to consider this, and I think we all should. But I think there's several pieces of information I think it would be helpful to have, and or have thought through. And since they haven't made since they haven't put a time frame on it, I think that leaves it open for us to think through what our minimum time frame. Hopefully it would be longer than that, but
well,
it would be helpful for us to know. And
let me see, in terms of time frame, the context, the committee's aware of this, maybe y'all aren't. When he was following the fact that we were negotiating and buying the carpet bazaar building, when he heard that it would be the end of the year because we had to do renovations there before we were able to move out of the base of the downstairs, he was, you can't be serious. He couldn't believe it. He thought, they finally bought a building. They can just move in. So he was exasperated with that. He sent me a long letter saying, by the way, from day one, we have been demanding this space as well as the COFA space. Therefore, we want you out on the same time frame as the COFA offices. So that's the context in which, you know, that's where we were starting from. So when he came to the meeting last week, Arilla and I were talking, we were not quite sure what he was going to say. So this is a very different...
Yeah, no, I really take this seriously and understand that we are operating in another sort of state mandate that we provide something here, and that $3 million is a lot of money. So the other piece of information I think it would be helpful to have, if we're talking about moving anybody, would be the relative cost of moving our different offices. So, you know, not a detailed estimate, but a rough estimate of what it would cost to move the clerk's office versus us should either of us agree to move. And then maybe an examination of other potential meeting spaces. I was at a meeting at the Ithaca Town Hall the other day, and in the spirit of intermunicipal cooperation, actually it was just after I had read the materials from your committee meeting, in the spirit of intermunicipal cooperation, I wondered aloud to Herb Engman, how available is that space that's already outfitted for meetings? I don't know if it's outfitted for broadcasting, but it certainly would be good for both the town and the county for it to be outfitted if we're going to have to outfit a room. And it's probably about as many steps in a different direction to that space if we're going to keep our offices here as it would be to have to split between our offices here and the other room. So I just think it may be worth looking into whether there's any potential for intermunicipal cooperation at maybe a very low charge. So those are just ideas that I had. And can you also tell me, is there a time frame that we have to make this decision? Are you expecting us to make this tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. No. Of course not. No. I wanted to bring you along as this is happening. No. Staff has to do a lot of work. Mulvey has to do some work. So there's a lot of churn here. Frank, I know you had your hand up, but can I go to Jim? He hasn't talked yet. Okay.
I just want to remember when some of you who have been here a long time first heard that the state wanted the legislature and COFA out of this building.
I knew about COFA before I even was elected.
Okay, so...
I don't know about legislature.
When you're talking about a process that began before some of us were born, that, you know, we're maybe getting to the end of that process at this point. And, you know, I don't want to be... You know, I don't want to say it's not a rush job, basically. You know, it's like it's something that's kind of milling around. And I also would say all of us old guys, young people, need to keep an open mind and look at the best side of this if we can.
Frank and then Dooley.
Yeah, just to summarize your concerns, trying to keep an open mind, I would really be concerned about having our clerks in one place and our offices and our legislative office in another. That's about as convenient as the judge having his clerk in one place and then having to run across to another building. That would be a concern. That's something to look at, and I know that's on the table. Jim's question about COFA, Martha's right. When we did the Space Needs Committee, Mike and I, we were talking about this the other day. I think he and I have chaired every one of those different committees. The COFA has been one of the items that's been on under consideration for some time. The legislative offices, when this came up a month ago, some of us reacted like, what are you talking about? We may have heard someone murmur something about it 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, but nobody came forward and said, you need to be out of there. So that created a little bit of a concern for some of us. The money is a concern to me. Whether the state has reduced the Office of Court Administration's budget, so now they don't have certain types of money. Going back to what Carol is concerned about, there's no guarantee that they're going to have the money when they're ready. How much longer would it be before they needed the rest of this space? The other offices here, and then, you know, we're out on a limb. We just approved, then, the Capital Programs Committee is going to be dealing with a resolution before our next, before the retreat.
I was going to get to that.
I know, but I'm not going to talk about it. I just wanted to remind us that we have this study underway, or will have shortly, regarding all of our buildings. And that should reveal a lot of how we can mix and match things. And Mike began to allude to it before. This is one of those make haste slowly, in my opinion. There's still a lot of information we have to gather. I don't want to incur the judge's wrath either. But this is new information. We're trying to be accommodative, and let's not move too fast.
Julie, and then Jim.
Well, I haven't been around as long as Frank, but I also remember.
You mean on this board? Oh, okay. Just for clarification, you're big on clarification.
Yes. My recollection is that in the past, the county, in the person usually of a deputy county administrator, worked with someone at a higher level in the Office of Court Administration. It wasn't a local judge in the legislature meeting. So this is quite a change. My recollection also is that it was COFA has been the space that was wanted for a long time so that the law library could expand. And just under the aegis of our local judge now, the law library isn't important. That space will get used for something else. And that's fine. That's up to them what they do with the space, but it was always for the law library. The agreement, apparently, that we have made to take LaBella and Arell's time to look at things in detail will require, I think, additional money being paid to LaBella, and that's not a cost that I know or that we had in place. So we're already spending money on this to some extent. And Joe, I don't know what the history is of what other counties have done and why, but our county has supplied the court system with a sufficient number of courtrooms to meet their needs. And I don't know whether other counties who built entire new courthouses had ever done that. So I don't know what we're being compared to. And I guess if you ever have time, I'd be curious to know what we're being compared to in that regard. I don't mind walking next door to go to that courtroom. It's beautiful. I like to go there. Fortunately, I only have been in there for jury trials before, and not pretending to have a legislative meeting, but the idea that our staff cannot be accommodated there in the near term or maybe ever, which is what the last space needs study showed, to me makes it not a very good option. I'm trying to keep an open mind, but my mind is full of a lot of other things, too, from the history.
Arell, I'm going to ask it. I'm going to go to Jim and then Peter, and then. But you may, if there's anything you want to add to. Okay, Jim.
I don't mean for this to be anything other than what it is. On a good day, on a good month, we spend 8 hours in this building. Every committee meeting we have is over there. These people operate out of this office for every committee meeting over there. So we come in this building 8 hours a month.
Peter?
And, you know, we can do what we do almost anywhere.
Peter?
A new observation. I'm thinking that people may be overestimating the importance of having the clerk's offices in the same place that we meet, simply because it's been that way and they have did not have to prepare for being in another place. But I think that what would happen if indeed their offices were here and we were meeting over there is that they would develop a sense of what there had to be over there for our meetings. It's not everything in these offices that have to be there. And my guess is that we would be able to adapt to that particular problem.
I will say, in these discussions, our staff has been enormously flexible and creative. Jim, Kathy, Karen, and Michelle, and Arel, Ed as well, you know, helping to think about this. And yes, you're right, Peter. We sat down yesterday and just started brainstorming. What would we need to do, for example, if court meets here, what do we need to do to make sure we have a boundary and they're not using our bathroom and distracting staff? What would we need to do to adjust to being over there? Well, a printer, we'd need to, you know, there need to be, you know, a few things. Malvi said that the furniture that's there could stay. I will tell you that the public will be enormously better served over there. And you'll see that instantly when you walk in the building. So, but as I said, this is, we're collecting information. Change is hard for all of us. That's, you know, a cliche, but it's true. But I think that, I think we should really work hard to figure this one out. David, did you have your hand up?
Yes. I just had a comment. It just seems like all of a sudden, the minute that COFA is going to move out, now there's a big push to move us out. I would suggest strongly that there will be a big push immediately after that to move everybody else out. And I firmly believe that because that looks like where it's headed. So we better make plans. If we're going to move, we should make plans to move everybody. That's my opinion.
You mean these four offices?
That's right.
Right. Understand that the plan that they worked out and that they accepted, that Arel worked out with Labella, left the DA's office and the clerk's office. So they the sort of permanent solution, in a sense, was a gift to us for that much because all of the, pretty much all the spaces that they accepted were smaller than the state standards. They could have played more hardball with us. So, Arel, is there anything else?
Oh, that's correct. And Judge Mulley, I should listen to
come to the microphone.
I actually listened to the audio to make sure that I heard correctly what Judge Mulvey said last Thursday because I wasn't sure what he was going to say. I knew that he had received a letter from Martha in response to his letter back in February. I'd had the conversation with William Clark, the counsel for capital planning for OCA. I was surprised that he actually called me versus Joe or Martha. In any case, an attorney. And so luckily, Jonathan has prepped me with all these other cases in the past. So I knew how to deal with this William Clark. But in any case, he wasn't heavy-handed. It was a very amicable discussion. However, he did very clearly state the Facilities Act, what the obligation to the county was. And this goes back, I mean, I've been here, since 94. Back in 98, Russ Oshel, which was the former district administrator, now it's Karen Ambrosic, I have letters where he was requesting this space. Now, Judge in last Thursday's meeting indicated that we're getting out pretty easy because they could have, I mean, the space that would have met their space needs per the standards would have included occupying the clerk, some of the DAs, as well as this space. Now, the compromise that we arrived at, and it was mostly because once we were laying out their space needs, that's where the compromises began. When we were actually looking just at numbers based on what they needed, attorney-client spaces, their roving rooms, their law library, per the standard, in which I even trimmed that down because I would question everything, and we trimmed that down. But the bottom number, and I told Joe, gosh, the couple of months after we started, it was double where we are now, just when we're looking at the numbers. From that point, once we agreed on the numbers, we go to laying out those spaces. And it was in that process
that the court said, well, we really want either this waiting room next to this courtroom. So they had to make compromises, because one thing that we did agree on early on, which was good for the county, was that we would not do an addition to this building. Being a historic building, they've done it in other areas. We've done additions to historic buildings. We said we do not want to do that. So we didn't want to increase the footprint. So they were working, they're willing to work within the footprint. As we were trying to lay out the spaces, that's when they started to make compromises. And the first one that was very quick was the law library. Initially, the law library in their plan, the numbers, was double what it is now. When they wanted a holding area and other things that is required per the standards, they said, okay, well, maybe we can do without a larger law library. We can do it electronic and all of that. So they made several compromises, and that's what Judge Mulvey alluded to at the meeting last Thursday, that this, I mean, basically the need to bring for them the court, Supreme Court here, was as in return for the compromises that they've already made. If we don't, I think they would then say, okay, we would go back and say, we want all the space to meet the standards. So I think in previous meetings where the judge has attended, he's mentioned these compromises that we've worked out. And I think in the end, it's benefited us. Judge Barrett, which was the previous, Well, that had the same role as Judge Mulvey. He wanted a new building. Every time we had our quarterly inspections, he would criticize or complain about something in the building because he was pushing for a new building. Now, if we were starting with a new building, you can bet that it would be double what they're asking for now. So in talking with Bill Clark, he's basically the company line. The email that I received the day after our committee meeting, which we were supposed to get prior to that committee meeting, I got the following day, and basically it wasn't at all consistent with what Judge Mulvey had said. It was basically the company line. You move forward now with the plan. We had done the study. The judge, they've been pushing that, and we've received letters about moving forward to the study, which we did. We completed the study. Now they're asking, what's the next step, which is the plan. So this William Clark said, this is what's required for the plan. We need a schedule. We need how you're going to fund the project. That's the email that came the next day, which was not what Judge Mulvey said. So I sent the emails to Martha and to Joe. They wanted to talk to me later. I mean, the courts did later that day. I called the district office. I said, we were told by Judge Mulvey that what he was going to tell us at the meeting was what was going to be in this email. And I said, it's not consistent at all. I said, yes, Bill Clark is giving you the company line. If we can work out an arrangement that is agreeable to the district and the judge, that will be carried up the ladder, and that will buy you some time to defer the full-blown capital improvement. And I think the important part is that the courts, they had $50 million for basically paying for maintenance and cleaning, as well as what we call tenant improvement. Anytime we make an improvement in their space, we get 100% reimbursement. What they were trying to creatively finance before was, as part of the full-blown improvements, they were going to try to maximize what would be considered tenant improvements. If you go by the book, they were going to say it's a capital project and it's only up to a third of the interest. However, the district office was willing to work with us and say, if there's space that we currently occupy as courts, any improvements in those spaces, we're going to go for 100% reimbursement. Anything that's new, which would have been this space and COFA, the best we could get is the third of the interest on debt. They were willing to say, what we'll do is we'll occupy the space, then it's beneficial use, then we can consider it an improvement. I think this is a good, interim plan. What has happened since that last meeting, the judge wanted to meet with us to discuss some ideas of what minimal improvements are. In my mind, I'm thinking paint the walls, maybe replace the carpet, and that's it. I'm hoping that's what they have in mind. The $50 million budget that I was referring to that the court statewide had for paying for maintenance and tenant improvements was cut by $30 million. So now they have $20 million, and most of that is focused on reimbursing the counties for maintaining and cleaning their space. So the judge said there's basically that. The tenant improvement fund is probably non-existent. And that's why I think they're willing to
do very minimal improvements to their space. We're meeting with the judge next Tuesday at 10:30 to discuss what these minimal improvements. That's what was agreed at the last Capital Plan Review Committee, that we meet with the judge. So LaBella will be in town to meet with us anyway on the day reporting family treatment project over at Human Services Building. So currently this time is currently part of the court study project. So it's not additional cost yet. So, I mean, that's what I can at least shed on this project. But, yes, I've been attending the Space and Location Committee for so many years, and so it's not new to us that they've been pushing for these improvements. I know that Allegheny County was in a similar situation. They had done a plan and sat on it for 20 years. Nothing happened. They were required last year to move forward with a multi-million-dollar project. LaBella actually was involved in that project where the state was coming down with sanctions. We're not at that point yet. However, we've already started down the road of doing the study. The next step is submit a plan with a schedule to move forward. So I think this is a good interim plan, and I agree, you know, to go slowly, but we need to at least show you know, that we're moving forward in some fashion.
Yeah, and obviously we aren't doing anything until we have numbers, until we have assurances on paper, and it'll go through the committee, it'll go through, you know, everybody will be fully informed, all your questions will be answered, you know, other alternatives will be looked at, et cetera. So, yeah, I know this is a long conversation, but, you know, it needs to be. This is where we live, right? So even if it's only 8 hours a month, so... Thank you very much, Arel, and I want to say that the goodwill that we have and the compromises and the flexibility are, you know, entirely because of Arel's working style and the way he's, you know, cooperated and communicated with Karen Brozek and the rest of them, and it's really to your credit, Arel, that we're in have this kind of good relationship with them. So that wasn't all we talked about, though, at the meeting. I will tell you that we also Arel brought
excuse me, but I had my hand up, and I had my hand up and you shot me down, you let Jim speak three times and Peter twice. I wondered if I could be called on.
Yes, Mike, you didn't have your hand up again. I thought perhaps you'd change your mind.
No,
so
I
go ahead.
I just want to say that I think it's very important here. If we could very easily get into a slippery slope where we're going to decide we're going to have to spend huge amounts of money for a center of government building. I know there are elements on this legislature who would like very much to see us move that right along. But I think if we pressure ourselves into that, it's not doing our taxpayers a whole world of good when we're in a recessionary times like we have right now.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Well, speaking of center of government, the next thing that the committee talked about was the scope of work for the study that we approved last meeting or when it was, for up to $50,000 for Arel to work with a consultant analyzing all the offices downtown, look at the life cycle, what is a 20-year, you know, 20-year use of the existing spaces compared to a consolidated, more efficient space, and which departments ought to be consolidated, which should stay in spaces that we already have. Unfortunately, the vision that we had for what we wanted the consultant to do was way more expensive than our $50,000. So Arel brought them in negotiations down from $173,000 to $123,000 and change. So the committee felt that, nevertheless, we really needed the information that was a pared down, but still the information that we really needed to make this important decision. So by motion and voice vote, we approved the idea of going up to $125,000. That's an additional $75,000. Beyond what's already approved, and that a resolution would be drafted and brought back to the committee and to the budget committee. So on Monday the 25th, the Capital Plan Review Committee meeting will meet just before our legislative retreat at the Transit Center at 5 o'clock to consider the resolution that Arell's drafted, Arell and Joe, I guess, have drafted, concerning this additional money for that scope of work. And the Budget Committee, what time is it, 4 o'clock? Also at the Transit Center meeting to consider whatever else the Budget Committee is doing.
I just did my report.
Well, all right. Okay, sorry, Jim. Very briefly, yes, Kevin.
Thanks. At the meeting, one of the concerns that I had was the additional amount of time that county staff would be devoting to working with Labella in order to expand the scope to meet many of our requirements and suggestions regarding what needs to be looked at in order to make a decision about the center of government. And one of the requests that I made was that it be reflected like it was in the resolution that we had tonight, where planning's time was singled out, where it showed a line, 7,000 some odd per year for planning as part of that grant. I'd like to see the additional time that is being devoted of the Facilities Department to working with Labella on an expanded scope of work. And I'd also like, just, you know, for the record, for us to talk about where that additional money is going to be coming from. Because I tend to agree with Mike that, you know, these are concerns that we don't want to give the public the impression that we're just skating through. We're giving a lot of thought and due diligence to this, and we need to make sure that where there are additional costs incurred, that they be allocated properly, especially in these tough times, because somebody's got to pay for that additional time that Arell is spending with the consultants. And that was my last concern. Well, it wasn't my last concern, but it was another concern that I have, and that is that the consultant's report be what we expect from a consultant, and that is an unbiased view as a report to government. And Arell assured me that the figures that he would be giving to the consultant regarding the condition of the various departments would all be backed up by facilities reports that are in existence that we would have access to. So the numbers are a matter of record that we'll be able to refer to. So it's not something that's being pulled out of thin air. It's something that we all know, and the conditions of the building, the projects that are underway, the projects that we know we've got to do because of deferred maintenance, all that he's going to convey to the consultants. But rather than have it be something that isn't documented, there'll be a way that we can keep track of it. Otherwise, the unbiased nature of the consultant's report would be thrown into doubt. So I appreciate that, and I think it's a really important aspect of expanding the scope. But it's something we demanded as a legislature, because we kept saying, well, what about this? Well, what about that? We got to pay for it somehow. So that's my question. Where is the money coming from?
You mean for Arell's time?
Both the additional money that we're asking for and how we're going to arrange to parcel out the additional time that Arell has committed to spending with the consultant, going around instead of spending 4 hours on each department, which was the original estimate. It's going to be a much shorter amount of time, but that's because Arell will be showing the consultant around to the various departments.
All right, Jim wants to have a question.
The original 50 came out of the contingent fund. The resolution that I have in my packet and all the Budget Committee has, 75 is coming out of the contingent fund.
That's right.
It's important that we keep track of this, because we're going to be hearing from David. The contingent fund, the contingent fund, the contingent fund is in trouble, and we just want to keep in our minds all this money that's coming out of contingent fund, because we're voting on it.
The second part of the question I can't answer.
Arell, do you want to talk about, or Joe, talk about Arell's time?
You don't have to answer it now. It would just be great if some estimate of that was presented to the committee. I asked for that before, and I'm hoping that we'll get it at the next meeting.
Okay. All right, we will address it at committee when it comes up.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. In other business, the committee also heard from Joe that he has met with the manager of the credit union. So now we're talking about the Human Services Building and that project. And he said that basically they would there's no lease that governs our relationship with them. They will so he just wanted to let them know that the this report was going to be undertaken and that he will stay in touch with them. In the LIBSE conference room, Dina Bodner of Department of Social Services did a survey or sort of looked through the records from, I think it was November to March, last November to this March, of how many hours the LIBSE conference room is used and who uses it. And I think it was about 100 hours out of, and I calculated the sort of total available hours, I think 260, something like that. So we can get everybody who, if everybody wants Dina's report, it's just a spreadsheet, we can get you that. I can also make sure everybody has the letter from Judge Mulvey to me and the letter from me back to him, if that would help folks.
One of the things I noticed from that spreadsheet is that a whole lot of the time in that conference room is DSS time, and it's time that they have, is it family conferences? It's an interesting use of the room that I wasn't even aware of, and it's something that I think that in good conscience we need to recognize that that's departmental time, it's a DSS time, and it's a space that we shouldn't be lightly undertaking to allocate for other uses. At least that's my concern, because we talk about efficiencies and flow, and this would, I think, be not only disruptive, I think it would be problematic.
So that's why LaBella is going to be looking into how to use that space for day reporting and other meetings after their hours. Maureen Reynolds from the Records Department gave us a timeline for their work and the scanning of their files over at the old library. And they, with a little more money, they could move that up. And they really are pretty flexible, and they can shrink their operations down. If we can get more money to that, they can be a much smaller operation. The permanent historical records would be scanned, and then the paper copies of all places stored at the Seneca Army Depot at an annual cost of $8,000. So, and Ed Marks gave us an updated critical path list of our decisions to be made and told us that he would be incorporating the discussion of the jail and a whole other topic into revision of the 20-year capital plan, which is something that will be on the future agenda for this committee. So, again, I would like to ask that we go after we adjourn our regular business, go to the old courthouse, and please keep an open mind. Think about everybody who would be using that room, and we'll make a list of questions, and it's the beginning of the conversation, not the end of it. Kathy, Carol?
This is probably opening up a can of worms.
Not quite, no.
I would like to know if we already have square footage figures, or if that is part of the study, and
for what?
For current use of the courthouse space, with the courts pushing the way they are.
Yeah, and that's
I have bemoaned the fact that we're talking about putting us in some new, probably cinder block building somewhere, and moving out of this beautiful historic granite marble space, and I just think it's worth, I mean, if we haven't looked at it already, what are the square footage figures for this building and sending the courts to a new air-controlled concrete block?
All right, let me just point out, this building was built in the 1930s. That old courthouse we're talking about was, like, I think 1825, give or take. So if you're interested in history, that's where you want to be. All right, I think we'll just let it go at this point and move on to the next conversation. Yeah, every square inch has been measured and studied. You can talk to Aurel, he'll give you the report, and he'll walk you through it. We have a library full of space need studies from the past decade that our committee is going to be pulling out again. For what our needs are, but trust me, we don't want to build them another building. Okay. I think we're up to the GO committee. Mike Lang.
We have not met since our last legislature meeting. We meet tomorrow at 9:30.
And you're going to be talking about redistricting in particular?
Yes, we are. Okay. We've started to have some resumes come in. We'll start talking about that process, how we're going to review them.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? Will.
Was there a deadline on for resumes to come in?
We had a deadline, hopefully by today, but I'm going to certainly bring up tomorrow whether we should extend that maybe another week or so.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Budget and capital.
That was Judge Mulvey. He wants to know if we're still here.
Do you have a report besides what I stole from you?
4 p.m. at TCAT Monday for the Budget Committee. The 5:30 meeting, which you're all just totally welcome to be there, and I hope you all are, which is what are we're
retreat.
Referring to,
what,
we're, retreat. Retreat, yes. The budget retreat at 5:30, which we will attempt to work on a levy setting operation. The only other thing that I can mention is Kevin Sutherland has redeveloped his dashboard of economic indicators, and I think he's added some new things and subtracted a few, and we will be again using that as we move through this whole process of the budget. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions? Kathy?
Are we all going to pitch in for pizza?
Yes. Joe's collecting.
I'll collect Monday. We'll get them and then I'll collect on Monday.
Thanks.
All right. So don't forget. Thank you, Kathy. All right.
Always count on me when it comes to food.
Public Safety Committee, Peter Steinchuk.
No reports. We have an excellent class.
All right. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claire Martin, Chair.
The WDIC Committee will meet next Wednesday.
All right. Anything else? That's it. Thank you very much. We have a member file resolution, Resolution O. It's in your packet. Julie?
Yes. As I said under privilege of the floor earlier, this is what I was able to come up with to acknowledge the importance of Earth Day. And I want to point out, I'd like to move it, but also in moving it, tell you what words aren't there.
Well, why don't we get a second? Okay, it's been moved. Pam seconds. Okay.
Thank you. In the first whereas, it should say, whereas April 22nd, 2011 marks the 41st celebration. In the second whereas, at the end of the first line, it should say, County government has taken many actions in response to our recognition of and concern about. Those are the missing words.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Is there any discussion? With those amendments, ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution O, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you very much for writing that, Julie, and bringing that to us. The minutes of the April 5th meeting are in your packet. Pat moves and reserves second. Peter seconds. Kathy Covert, would you point out one area where the vote on the list? Do we need a motion to amend that? Or
no.
Is that a manifest error? On the last page, Mike Lane is not should not be counted twice. Pam Mackesy should be counted once. So,
yes,
Pam,
I have both hands up.
No, because you were out of the room. So, Mike, in fact, was out of the room, and Pam Mackesy voted in favor of that that motion, the motion to separate. So that's a manifest error being corrected. Okay, Carol?
I just want to register that I find these minutes to be quite incomplete. I really find that the parts of the minutes that I like to refer to, that I most need to refer to, is the discussion, the more detail on the reports by our staff, and I really miss having more detailed minutes.
Well, the GO committee, the GO committee has circulated the policy. And so that will come back to GO, right, Mike?
That's correct.
Okay. So there will be a time when the committee will be inviting comment. All right. Kathy?
Until then, I'll be voting no on these and all committee minutes. I look forward to the adoption of a policy on the part of the legislature rather than going as we are now in an ad hoc manner.
Are we ready to vote? I guess not. Dooley?
Yeah, I had found that vote at the end also and thought that was kind of funny. I will be voting no on these because they don't even include entries for each agenda item, and that is the skeletal thing that's at least should be here, I think.
Are we ready to vote on the minutes as amended? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? Passed 13 to 2. All right, I need a motion to go into an executive session for the purpose of personnel negotiations. Jim moves, Peter seconds, and I do not expect us to take any action after the executive session. All in favor of moving to executive session? Any opposed? We will meet at the old courthouse in, 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Just as soon as we can get over there. And Arell's got the key. He's gone. Maybe he's already...